Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a difference between the words that we say and the words that God says. When we say things, if our words are going to be truthful, our words have to conform to reality, right? But when God speaks, he always speaks the truth, because reality conforms to his words. It's a different way around. Think about it at the very beginning of the world, before anything had been made, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Reality conformed to God's words. The gospel reading for last week was when Jesus was on the boat with his disciples and there were winds and waves, and Jesus said to the wind and to the waves, "Peace, be still." And it was still. And now today this morning's gospel reading, we find Jesus saying about a dead girl, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." Now the people laughed, right? And you could kind of understand that. They were probably thinking, well, you know, Jesus, you're a great guy, great teacher, you're very powerful, but this time you've gone too far. Because what you've said blatantly isn't true. It is contrary to fact. She's not sleeping. She's dead. Your words don't conform to reality. And then the next words of Jesus were, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she got up. Jesus' words were true. Not because his words conformed to reality, but because reality conformed to his words. This is the power of the Word of God, the power of the things that God says. God's words are not just information. They're not just data for our intellect, right? And the power is not just the power to move us emotionally, but the things God says have the power to wake the dead. By his word, God created the universe. By his word, God sustains the universe. Scripture says his word is living, it is active, it does things. It does mighty and amazing things. That is the power of the things God says. And when you reflect on that, the awe-inspiring power of what God says, you can understand what the devil is up to. Because now think of the first words recorded in Scripture that the devil said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Did God actually say?" Right? His first attack is against the words of God, to cast doubt. Did God actually say you should not eat from any tree in the garden? Is God giving you the whole story? Are you sure, Eve, that he's giving you the whole truth? Maybe actually eating from that tree would be good and would benefit you. Maybe you should just go around God's words. And Adam and Eve believed that. And they sinned against God and they separated themselves from God's word. And it ruined them. It literally killed them. And the devil's no fool. He knows that if something works, he'll do it again, right? To this day, this is the chief work of Satan in our lives, is to try to persuade us to doubt God's powerful word. And it's good to recognize that, because then you can recognize when temptation comes into your life. Did God actually say? Is it really true? If you guys have followed the news at all this week, that's kind of the question our nation is asking right now. I know Christians all around the country this Sunday are asking, did God really say that in the beginning he made them male and female? Did God really say that that's what marriage is? Did God really say? And it's not just out there, right? It's in each one of our hearts whenever we're tempted, right? When you see something you want, the thought arises in your mind, did God really say you shall not steal? I mean, does that apply to this case? The thing that I want is so small, no one's going to miss it, and I kind of deserve it anyway. Did God really say you shall not commit adultery? Because there's a world of pleasure just beyond God's words. Maybe we can bend his words a little bit in this case. Did God really say, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? Did God really say that his word is that important? Because if I neglect my prayers and going to church for a couple weeks, that's not really going to cause any harm, is it? See how our temptation is to doubt the words of God. And it's not just the commands of God. It's also the promises of God. Has the thought ever occurred to you? I look out into the world, and there is so much evil. There is so much suffering. There are so many catastrophes. Where is God in all of this? Did God really say that he's going to be with us? Did he really say he's going to take care of me? And the temptation is to believe, the world is dangerous. I'd better take things into my own hands. He's not going to take care of me. And then comes fear. Once we have separated ourselves from trust in God's word, fear comes to control our lives. And it's not just little fears like, I'm afraid of spiders, I'm afraid of the dark. But you know how sometimes fear takes root, right? It's the kind of fear that it keeps you up at night, right? You lay awake fearing for the future. It's kind of this grinding anxiety. It makes you feel sick, gives you ulcers. We fear for our finances. Will God really provide my daily bread so that I will be able to make ends meet? And we fear for our loved ones. Will I be able to restore these broken relationships? Will I be able to keep my family and friends close? And we look at the world, political, economic situation, and we fear what is going to happen to us. We fear for our friends, we fear for our families, we fear for our own health as we get older and we see our own mortality come more clearly into focus. We fear our own death. We fear what will actually happen to me after I die. Fear becomes paralyzing. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What's the first thing they did? They hid because they were afraid. And we are afraid also. That's what sin does to us. And it's even a vicious cycle. Sin leads to fear, and fear leads to more sin, right? Because when I'm afraid, I don't want to help you because I might not be able to take care of myself. When I'm afraid, I don't want to give to you because I won't have enough left for me. When I'm afraid, I don't want to keep God's commands because they're risky. They require self-sacrifice. But in fear, it's all about me, 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 protect myself. Sin, fear, more sin. This is what the devil, the world, and our sinful nature do to us. It's the destruction and the ruin they bring upon us. And there's only one thing that cures it. The word of God. Our Lord calls us back to himself using his powerful word. Because the things that God says, those things are stronger than fear. Those things shape reality. So go back. Think about what did Jesus say to Jairus? He said, do not fear, only believe. And that same basic message is God's message for you and for me today. Do not fear, only believe. And it's worthwhile to review God's track record on what he has said. Remember, when he said, let there be light, there was light. When he said to the wind and the waves, be still, they were still. When he said to the little girl, get up, she got up from the dead. And he says to you, you are forgiven. You can be sure you're forgiven. He says, for the sake of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you and rose again, you are righteous. You are innocent. God says it. It is true. When Christ hung on the cross, he said regarding your sin, it is finished. And that is true. And you know, you might be tempted to look at your own life and you think, yeah, my life is a mess. You know, I see all of my sins and my fear, my failings. I don't trust in God. I'm a horrible person. I don't feel forgiven. I don't look forgiven. I look like a mess. But that's because you forget the power of the Word of God. God's word doesn't just describe who you are. God's word makes you who you are. when you were baptized, God said, you belong to me, and that ends the matter. God says it, it is true. Do not fear, only believe. Now, there was an awkward moment when Jesus said about the little girl, she's sleeping, right? There was a conflict because Jairus and the people standing there, they looked at the little girl and their eyes and their reason said, she's not sleeping, she's dead. Dead people don't wake up. And yet Jesus said, she's only sleeping. Faith was necessary, right? Faith was necessary to believe what you don't see with your eyes right in front of you. Brothers and sisters, we live in that same sort of a time. Christ our Lord has spoken, but we don't see yet visibly with our eyes the full glorious truth of his word. We don't yet fully understand that with our reason. But God says, do not fear, only believe. Christ's word will be proved true in the end. So when the devil and the world and your sinful nature gang up on you and they say, you look like a sinner, you remind them, my Father in heaven has declared, I am a saint. And when they say to you, you look guilty, you say, my Father in heaven has declared, I am forgiven. And when they say, you look like you've been abandoned by God, you remind them, Christ my Lord declared, I am with you always to the end of the age. And when they say, the church is failing, it is in decline, you remind them, my Lord declared that he has established his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when they say, death is the end of everything, you say, my Lord Jesus says that those who die in his name are asleep and they will soon wake to glory. These things are true because God has said them. Do not be afraid, only believe. And it's faith in God's word that has made bold all of the saints in history. They trusted what God says. Think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They trusted what God said, and so they were willing to worship God even at a threat to their lives. Think of Gideon. He trusted, he believed what God said, and obediently he reduced the size of his army before going into battle, and he won. The widow in the temple believed God's word, and so she was willing to put in all she had, trusting in her Lord. Paul and the apostles believed God's word, took his word to the ends of the earth. And the poor woman who had been bleeding for 12 years believed God's word. She reached out her hand and touched Jesus' garment. So friends in Christ, what we learn from today's text is, do not underestimate the power of the word of God. By that word, God created the universe. By that word, he declares that you are righteous. By that word, he sustains you in faith. By that word, he will raise you from the dead, just as he did Jairus' daughter. So go forth from this house of worship boldly, in faith, in confidence. God is on your side because Christ has died for you and has risen again. This is true because God has declared it. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.